Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Pei Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah at the very top of Daf Pei Beis. We want to emphasize that this section of Mishnah and Gemara till the next Mishnah must be learned in conjunction with Rashi. The text appears actually quite simple. However, there is a very big difference between looking at the Mishnah and Gemara text on its own and relying on simple translation and what the actual meaning is behind the text. Rashi, of course, will reveal the true meaning, and only with that can then one understand the flow of the Gemara. The Mishnah deals with the age of chinuch regarding tzom. Chinuch meaning education, indoctrination, introduction of young ones, of minors, to the realm of fasting. Fasting on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah. Ha-tinoikos ein me'arnin oison b'yom ha-kippurim. The children, we are not instructed, we're not required to withhold food from them on Yom Kippur. Avo mechanchin oison lefnei shana ulefnei shnotayim. We educate them, we attempt to have them grow accustomed to food deprivation or withholding. B'shvil shiyu regilim b'mitzvahs, so as to accustom them to the fulfillment of mitzvahs. We are very hesitant to translating this Mishnah. However, we look at Rashi, and he says, "Ein me'anin oison, ein chayavim l'mno me'anin ma'achol." We're not obligated to withhold food from them. Mechanchin oisom l'sho'ois, regarding hours. In other words, we will and encourage them to restrain from eating for a couple hours into the day, but not necessarily a full day fast. We're going to see much more about this as the Gemara unfolds. So the Mishnah had said, "Mechanchen asim l'shois lifnei shana shehi smucha lepirkin." Very hard phrase to translate, but it says that we educate them a year prior to the year that is adjacent or next to their age of adulthood. Pirkon, the term pirkon, have, the next word says ben, but the reference is to a girl, even though ben is a boy. But when we speak about ages, we'll speak about ben shlosh esrei, means 13 years old. So pirkon, maybe just a word of introduction before looking at the text, in Jewish law, an adult, if you're dealing with a female, adulthood is at 12 complete years of age. In other words, 12 years and a day, that's starting into their 13th year of life. So they're what we call, they celebrated their 12th birthday. That is an adult for a female. When it comes to a male, it's a year later. Adulthood is at 13. 13 and a day, what we often refer to as a bar mitzvah. And that takes place the first day into his 14th year. He's not 14 years old. He's just beginning his 14th year. So Rashi says, Pirkon Have Ben Shloshesrei Linekeva. Ben Shloshesrei means the beginning of the 13th year. Very tricky expression. Ben Shloshesrei means 12 full years and a day. It's the beginning of their 13th year. V'arboesrei, Lazochar, and likewise, it's 13 years and a day, the beginning of the 14th year for a male. Shederech tinokus lahavi shtei sairos b'shteim esrei v'yomechad. It's the way of nature that females develop their signs of puberty, which is associated with adulthood. The two pubic hairs emerge at that age, at 12 years and a day, by a female. Dahainu b'soch shnas yud gimel. That's within their 13th year. V'hi pirko l'onshin. And that is their time, their phase, or their time of being subject to punishment. Punishment means that if they're warned before committing an offense, and a sin, and they nevertheless go ahead and transgress the commandment, they are subject to a court-induced punishment. The tinoik is a reference to the male, the biyud gimel v'yoyim echad, 13 years and a day. That's the beginning of his 14th year. Nimsa shnas yud dalid pirkoi l'oinshin. The result of this is that the pirko, that year, is the beginning of his 14th year. 13 in a day. 13 years in a day. Ushnas yud gimel. Shnas means in the beginning of the 13th year. He shana hasmucha l'pirkoi. That's what we call the year next to, smucha means next to, the pirko. And shnas yud beis, this would be a boy that we would call him, he's celebrated his 11th birthday, and he's into starting his 12th year. He shana lefnei shana smucha lepirko. That's the year before the year that's next to the pirko. So Rashi is establishing the different times to be aware of, and we must bear these in mind as we go through the Gemara. The next Rashi, Oy lifnei shtei shonim. The Mishnah had mentioned that mechanchin oy son lifnei shana ulifnei shnotayim. So in the meantime, lifnei shana meant a year before the year that Samoch Lepirkei. The next Rashi, O Lifnei Shtei Shonim, Shehi Lifnei Shtei Shonim Samoch Lepirko. That's the 2 years before the year that Samoch Lepirko. Dahainu, Shalosh Shonim Lifnei Pirko. And that comes out to 3 years before actual adulthood. Uva Gemara Parach, the Gemara will ask, Hashka lefnei shtayim, dainu gimel shonim, amris mechanchim. You said that we start the education or the indoctrination 3 years before adulthood, lefnei shana dainu shtayim ibaya, to say 2 years before adulthood, is that necessary? He started already a year before. Why does the Mishnah say, therefore, we indoctrinate them lifnei shana, and then lifnei shana time? If you start already lifnei shana time, of course, he started lifnei shana. It's even closer to actual adulthood. The Gemara, hashto b'fnei shtayim mechanchin lahu. The Mishnah tells you that we start the chinuch process 2 years before the somuch lepirko year. B'fnei shana mibaya, do I have to tell you that 1 year before the samuch lepirka year we have chinuch? He's already been mechunach. He's already been subject to indoctrination or a practice or education for a year. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says there's no question, lo kashi, there's no difficulty here. Haba chayla, haba bari. Depends on the physical state of the child. If it is chayla, it is a weak type person, so then they'll start their chinuch a year before the year Somoch Lepirkei. If they are bori, they're healthy, so they'll start 2 years before the year that's Somoch Lepirkei. Once again, before we go further, just to keep in mind the information we saw in the Rashi, there is the Pirko, that's actual adulthood. There's Somoch Lepirkei, that's the year before adulthood. And then there's the expression that we saw, Lifnei Shana and Lifnei Shnatayim. That's a reference to 1 year before, or 2 years before the year that Somoch Lepirkei. You see, what could be confusing to some is that people would think that the Mishnah's references to a year before adulthood or 2 years before adulthood. That's not the pshat that we are using right now. If that were the intention, so the Mishnah would have simply said mechanchen oisoi shana or shnatayim. The addition of the word lifnei shana and lifnei shnatayim creates this new understanding. We continue with the Gemara, but before actual learning of the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, Gil Chinuch Litzom. We're going to deal with the ages of educating a child. We used the term before, indoctrinating the child, whereby we're not just speaking in an educational form, but it's actual practice where the child is reducing or delaying the time of day in which he's going to start eating. We are going to see a machloikas amoraim, an amoraic controversy in Yesh Din Hashlomas Tzoim Ad Al Yedei Koton. Is there a need for a child on a rabbinic level? Of course, we're talking about a minor in this discussion. Is there a need for him, for the child, at any point, meaning very close to his actual bar or bat mitzvah, is there any need for them to complete a fast day, the entire Yom Kippur in fasting? Rav Huna of Rav Nachman, they hold Sovrim Sheyesh, that there is a Din Hashlama. Hashlama means to complete. Rabbi Yochanan cholek v'sover she'ein, that there is no din hashlama. The mechanchim rak l'shos, the whole concept of educating involves only delay in time of day at which the child would begin eating, where as opposed to a complete day of fasting. We continue with the Gemara text now, Om Rav Huna, and we must again warn that don't fall into the trap of simple translation. So Om Rav Huna, Ben Shmoina uben Teisha Mechanchen Oisoi L'Shois. You see something about 8 and something about 9. We educate them in terms of hours. That's what we call delay the hour at which they would start eating on Yom Kippur. Ben Yud uben Yud Aleph Mashlimin Midrabanan. Mashlim means complete day of fasting on a rabbinic level. Ben Yud Beis Mashlimin Midoraisa. At 12, at Ben Yud Beis, which Yud Beis often means 12, Mashlimin Midoraisa. That's Betinoikes. Tiokes is a female. So if we work backwards now, so we know that when it says Ben Yud Beis, that means that's the Pirkoi. That's a complete 12 years. That Yud Beis would mean 12 years and a day. So when we see the ages that Rav Huna presents to us, it's a reference to they have completed that amount of time. As, again, sometimes as you go through the Gemara and the Rashi, the age could be into that particular, into the eighth year, or you could see Ben Shmoina, Ben Ches is a complete 8 years. So in this case, Ben Shmoina of Rav Huna, we're dealing with a little girl. So Ben Ches means a girl who is 8 years old. In other words, she started her ninth year of life. And Ben Teisha means a girl who's 9 years old. So at that age, we're talking about no complete day of fasting. We're talking about starting to eat a little later in the day than ordinary. And then you see Ben Yud is a 10-year-old girl. Ben Yudav is an 11-year-old girl. So there's Mashlimin Midrabonan, the idea of finishing the day in fasting. And Ben Yudbeis is a girl who's 12 years old, so Mashi Midrash, she has to finish Midrash because she is an adult. That's Petinokas. Now, Rav Nachman comes in saying, we'll see later, there's no argument. He is dealing with a little boy, and with a little boy, so everything is pushed ahead 1 year. So, Rav Nachman, Omar Ben Teisha, Ben Yud, that's... Just to go over that last point again, Rav Nachman and Rav Huna are in agreement. They are simply dealing with different genders. Let us now look together at the Rashi. And we're going to learn the Rashi and make sure that we've got Rav Huna and Rav Nachman clear before we then continue to Rav Yochanan, who will be disagreeing with them. In the meantime, the Rashi, Omar Rav Huna, Ben Shmoina Libori, Sheavra Shmoina, V'nichneses L'teisha, U'betinoikis. We're talking about a little girl, even though the word Ben, which is associated in general with the masculine, it's a reference to a girl, and that's what Rashi is emphasizing. A girl that's finished her eighth year and going into the ninth year. We refer to in English as she's 8 years old, and we're talking about a little girl, Kedem Messiah Milsei. As Rav Huna finishes his remark, he says that Dehave Shnas Teisha Arba Shonim Lefnei Pirka. The ninth year, be careful now, ninth year is not 9 years old. It's the ninth year is 4 years before adulthood. So that can be calculated simply by looking at the girl. She's eight now. So from eight to nine is one unit of time. Nine to ten is two. 10 to 11 is three. And 11 to 12 is four. So that's 4 years before Pirkei. And you can see we have this listed on the side of the Gemara. So it's 4 years lefnei pirka. Continuing in the Rashi, uben teisha lechoyle. If you're dealing with a weak girl, so at 9 years of age, she'ovra shnas teisha, she's finished her ninth year. She's 9 years old. V'nechneses l'seich eser, she's starting her tenth year. Dahainu shalosh shanim lefnei pirka. That's 3 full years before adulthood, mechanchin l'sha'os. They're at that point in time, at the 3 year mark before adulthood, and if you go back to the chart, we're talking about 9 to 10, that's 1 year, 10 to 11 is a second year, 11 to 12 is a third year, 3 years before pirka, before adulthood. At that point, we start the hour form, the we'll call the shois, delay starting of eating on Yom Kippur. Delay meaning starting, delay in terms of hour of day. If she, we'll see this later in the Gemara, it just start a little later. Ben Eser, so now we're continuing with the Rashi, because Rav Huna made reference to 8 years and 9 years for shois, and now Ben Eser, Lebria, a healthy girl, Shavra, Esther, she's 10 years old, V'nechneses Le'achadasar, she's entering her 11th year. She's starting her 11th year. that's when she will start a complete day of fasting. So if you're looking at a healthy girl, so she's already for 2 years been doing the Lishaos approach, and now for two more years she's going to do the Mashlima, the complete day of fasting. And Ben Esser means she's 10 years old. She's starting her 11th year. So that's V'nichneses l'chadasar u'ben achasasrei l'tinekes chayla. If you're dealing with a chayla, that's she's 11 years old. So she's going to start at that point fasting a full day. That's uben achas esrei l'tinekes chayla v'nichneses liyud beis mashlimin midrabbanan. So if we look at the chayla, for example, she was 9 years old when she started her shos. So she did shos for 2 years, just like the Bria did shos for 2 years. Now, having done shos for 2 years, she's only going to have 1 year left for complete fasting, rabbinic year of complete fasting. So that's what Rashi is continuing to say about the Bas. We say the 11-year-old girl, she starts her 12th year, she is Mashlimin Midrabbanan. Ben Yud Beis V'Nechasas Yud Gimel, Mashlimin D'Oraisa, Shehi Pirkan B'Tinoikis. 12 years old, entering her 13th year, that's already a requirement to complete the day in fasting on a Torah level, because that's an adult as far as a girl is concerned. Habriya V'Achilo Shavois Boy. That when it comes to adulthood, then we don't make any distinction between a weak type person and versus a healthy type person. They both have the same obligation in finishing the day in fasting. It's a Torah obligation. We continue with the Rashi. Rav Nachman Omer. Lo polig Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman is not coming to argue on Rav Huna. One was explaining the laws of a little girl, and the other the laws of a little boy. Okay, now hopefully the opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are clear. We had a little chart above for the Bas, but the same chart would apply to a Ben, just pushing the numbers up by 1 year. We turn now to the Gemara, and we learn now Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Hashlomo de Rabbonon Leka. Rabbi Yochanan takes a firm stand in saying that when you're dealing with a minor, there is no completion of day in fasting. Ben Yud Aleph, Mechantchen Oisei Lishois. Here we're dealing with a little girl, as is going to be obvious in a second, where he goes on to say, Ben Yud Beis, Mashimi Midoraisa, finishing Doraisa, so that Ben Yud Beis means she is 12 years old. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, things are much simpler. Had a 10-year-old girl and an 11-year-old girl will eat on Yom Kippur, but just start their eating later in the day. A 12-year-old girl must fast a complete day from the Torah. So she jumps, so to speak, from eating on Yom Kippur, meaning allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, to her next year, she's going to have to fast a full day on a Torah level. Tanan. We have a triangle. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, you see we've featured the triangles. You see another one later, but in an opposite direction. This section is L'toivas Rav Hunav Rav Nachman de Mashlimin. The opening is going to seem to support Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And you can see right after the source, the Gemara says, Bishlam Ola Rav Hunav Rav Nachman. And the next triangle, the inverted triangle, is L'toivas Rabbi Yochanan, where right after that source, on the second wide line, the Gemara says Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, meaning things are better for Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that having been said, we turn to the Gemara Tanan. This is a quote from our Mishnah. Hatinoikos ein ma'anenoison v'yom ha-kipurim. Avo mechanchen oison lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim. My hope is that since we learned the Rashi fairly carefully before, emphasizing the nuance of language, i.e., instead of the Mishnah saying mechanchen oisoi shana ushtayim, the Mishnah added lifnei shana v'lifnei shtayim. And another point that we might as well point out, and that is that the term mechanchim at this point is associated with the sha'ois idea. So the Mishnah, with all that background in mind, it says something about hours, and it says lifnei shana, and we meant, when we learned this in the Mishnah, we pointed out that lifnei shana meant a year before the year that samach lepirkei. And the lifnei shtayim meant 2 years before the year that samach lepirkei. Now, that time frame for, let's say, hours, chinuch for hours, is, as the Gemara says, bishlama l'ravuna of Rav Nachman. This works out well according to them. Lifnei shana ulifnei shtayim means lifnei shana lidivrehem, that's a year before the rabbinic year, and lifnei shtayim lidivrei Torah, 2 years before the Torah expectation. We take a look at Rashi, Dibur Masvul Tanan, and here it's essential to follow the Rashi, otherwise this Gemara is very hard to understand. Tanan, Mechanchen, we're reading the Rashi, Mechanchen oisoi l'shois, the word Mechanchen is taken to mean the sha'o idea, the hour time, the hour, the delay in the beginning of eating. Lefnei shana, the expression in the Mishnah that said lefnei shana, dahainu, shtei shanim. That's chinuch l'shos for 2 years. Ulefnei shtayim, dahainu, shalosh. When we say lefnei shtayim, that means 3 years. Bishlamo l'rav Nachman u'rav Huna, the Amri Iko Hashloma Midrabonan, they who hold you complete a fast on a rabbinic level for the minors, Kidika Omar, Afagav Didhu Havichinuch Habori Arbishonim, even though they spoke about chinuch for a healthy child 4 years. As we spelled out earlier, they have this four-year concept. 4 years prior to the Torah requirement, there was already indoctrination. And here, in the Mishnah, we're making reference to a maximum of 3 years. Motzi l'trutza l'masnisin kula b'chayla. The Mishnah can be explained as referring entirely to a sick, a weak child. V'hochi ka'omar, and here we have the true reading of the Mishnah, according to the current understanding of things. What we've done in the Rashi, you'll notice we have some framing done. What we've done with that is we're highlighting the Mishnah words, allowing you to have that stand out, and then the Rashi commentary that follows. So, thusly, we are to understand. Mechanchen oisoi l'shois. Shtei shonim Lifnei Hashlomas Divrehem. 2 years before the need to complete a fast on a rabbinic level, Shehem Shalosh Lifnei Hashlomas Divrei Torah, which is 3 years before the need to complete Midoraisa. Kidekoma Rav Huna, as Rav Huna said, Dishona Asiris Mechanchim Es Akinoikis Achilu Lishois. The Shana Asiris is, she's 9 years old. She started her 10th year. So from 9 to 10, the sick girl, the weak girl, is Mechuneches L'shol. She educates, she gets, she practices the Shol's idea. Shehi Lifnei Shana, or let's read that again. Lifnei Shana Hasmucha Leperek Hashlomas Divrehem. Now that age for a little girl, when she's 9 years old, that is 1 year before the year that's next to Hashlomas Divrehem. Now, that's a mouthful, so to speak. That's a lot there. So what Rashi is struggling to do is to show how the words of the Mishnah conform to that which Rav Huna spoke about. He spoke about a little girl that's weak, and the Mishnah spoke about Chinuch Lefnei Shana. What does that mean? So we're talking about a girl that's 9 years old. She does the Sha'os thing. And when does she do that? That year is 1 year before the year that precedes, that's before the year she would finish Midrabanan. So if you keep one finger on the chart, you could see this pretty clearly, where you see 9 to 10. That is the year we're focusing on now. That is the year before 10 to 11. And what can we say about that year 10 to 11? Well, that year is the year before she would have to complete on a rabbinic level. So we read that in the Rashi again, where we have the frame, Lifnei, the age of 9 years old, is Lifnei, Shana Hasmucha Leperek Hashlomas Divrehem. She Bishnas Yudbeis Lechoyla. When is that Hashlomas Divrehem? That is in her 12th year. That's from 11 to 12. So 9 to 10 is the year before the year that's next to the Hashlomas Divrehem. Dahainu, what else can be said about that? Dahainu Lifnei, that's before Shtayim Hasmuchim Leperek Da'oraisa. What does that mean? So 9 to 10 is before 2 years that are next to her finishing Midoraisa. So if we can try to get this back into the words, having one finger on the chart, we're at the chart, we're at the upper part of the page in the margin. We're focusing on 9 to 10. This is a girl that's a chayla, because with a chayla you're starting at 9 years old. There's nothing to talk about before that. At 9 years old, she is going to be starting her Sha'os fasting, and that we describe as 1 year before the year that she would finish Midrabanan. Well, what's the year she finishes Midrabanan? That's 11 to 12. What's the year that's next to the year she finishes Midrabanan? 10 to 11. So what's 9 to 10? That's 1 year before the year that's samuch to finishing Midrabanan. Well, all that is something that Rav Huna spoke about. However, what about Rabbi Yochanan? So we have to go back to the Gemara, realizing how little there was to see in the actual Gemara itself till now. But all the Gemara says, Elul Rabbi Yochanan Kashya. But as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, we don't have we don't have an understanding in the Mishnah, because everything that we've said till now involved our explaining the Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shtayim, as being in reference to a time period prior to her completing a fast Midrabanan, without saying all the details over again. But there was reference to a time period before her completing a fast Midrabanan. But Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have that. He doesn't have her completing a fast Midrabanan. So we go back to the Rashi. Elo Rabbi Yochanan Kashya, L'didei loy mesukmo masnisin klal. We can't explain or set up our Mishnah at all. Deho amrinon hashlomo midrabanan leko. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, he doesn't have completing a fast midrabanan. The tamo masnisin chade kotoni kimna liba derav hunav rav Nachman, so as to enable us to set up the Mishnah in referring to one situation as we did with regard to explaining it with the Rav Huna Rav Nachman. What did we do? We said, well, the Mishnah is talking about a little girl that is a choyla, and we didn't introduce any additional variables. Simply, a little girl that's a choyla, what does she do? And the Mishnah spoke about Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shtayim, and as we explained earlier. What about Rabbi Yochanan, though? So far, that wouldn't work for Rabbi Yochanan because that involved acknowledging a completion of the fast rabbinically, which Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold from. Another thing, Rashi goes on, V'reisha b'chila v'seifa b'bori, and to set up the Mishnah as the Reisha is talking about chila, and all the Mishnah is in fact talking about are shalis. But in order to explain the Mishnah that way, you would have to do like Rav Chisda did at the beginning of the Gemara, and said that one age is referring to a chayla, and the Seifa, when it spoke about Shnatayim, is a bori. Kideukima Rav Chisda, nami lo sukma. To say that that's what our Mishnah is talking about, that there's Sho'os fasting, 1 year before adulthood for a chayla, and 2 years before adulthood for a bori, that doesn't work. The masnisin kotoni, the Mishnah spoke about shalosh labori v'shtayim l'chayla. The Mishnah, don't forget, spoke about lifnei shnatayim and lifnei shana. Lifnei shnatayim meant 3 years. It didn't say just shnatayim, it said before Shnatayim. So Shnatayim means 2 years. But before that is a reference to an additional year, 3 years. That's 3 years for a bori and 2 years for a chayla. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Shtayim lebori v'achas l'chayla. And Rabbi Yochanan himself says that as far as Chinuch L'shos is concerned, only 2 years for the bori and 1 year for the chayla. So the Rav Chisda approach to superimpose that on Rabbi Yochanan would not work. Let us go back to the Gemara. We're picking up the Gemara on the last narrow line of the Gemara text. Omar lo Rabbi Yochanan, my shana oy shtayim. What does the term shana and shtayim mean in the Mishnah? It means somoch lepirkan. Now, the ikur, once again, is simply not in the words of the Gemara. The text is very, very thin. The Rashi, though, fills in the missing information. So, we look together at the Rashi. Omar loch Rabbi Yochanan. We're at the second wide line under the Gemara text in the Rashi. Lo tisni lifnei shana. Don't speak, don't teach in the Mishnah the word lifnei. The word lifnei is not accurate, because by saying lifnei shana, that's demashma shtayim. That implies 2 years. And lifnei shtayim demashma sholoshanim. That implies it's a year before the 2 years. That means 3 years before whatever. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have anything about 3 years. Elo emo, rather, you should say mechanchin oisa shana. Samoch lepirka b'chayla u'shtayim lebori. Notice, without the lifnei word. Well, if you take out the lifnei, then it's very smooth, like Rabbi Yochanan. We continue in the Gemara. Inverted triangle, first wide line. Toshma detoni rabo bar shmul. So rabo teaches a Tanaic source. Tinoika is ein ma'anin oisan b'yoyim ha-kipurim. We don't, when dealing with tinokas, with minors, so we don't withhold food from them on Yom Kippur. Avo mechanchin oisan shana oshtayim samach lepirkan. Well, here you have, first of all, mechanchim is a sho'os idea, and it doesn't say lifnei, it just says we do the mechanchim for 1 year or 2 years before adulthood. 1 year for a chayla, 2 years for a healthy. Bishlomo Rabbi Yochanicha, this source works out very smoothly according to Rabbi Yochanan. Elo Ravuna Rav Nachman Kashia, but according to them, this source is very difficult. Because as far as 1 year or 2 years before adulthood, so under no circumstances, for example, does anyone say between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, there's no shaos 1 year before adulthood, even a choyla, the 1 year before adulthood is mashlima, finishes. So where does this source can't fit in with the schema, with the presentation of Huna and Rav Nachman? Amri loch rabbonon. The Rabbanan is reference to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. They will tell you, my chinuch nami dekotani, the word chinuch, this word mechanchim, you know what it is? Hashlama. It means completion. So, if that's the case, then the source will fit in with their scheme of things. Completion 1 year before adulthood for a chayla, and 2 years before adulthood for a bori. Question. Umi kori lechinuch hashlama. The idea of chinuch is an hour idea. Is that termed hashlama, or the other way around? Is hashlama ever called chinuch? They're two different expressions. V'hotanya. Here we have a source that indicates they are two different expressions. E ze chinuch. What does chinuch mean? You're going to see it means hours. If he was used to eating at the second hour of the day, let's say that he was used to eating at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's from 6 to 7 is 1 hour, 7 to 8 is 2 hours, so they're used to eating after 2 at 8 in the morning, machinoso l'shalosh, so have him start at 9 o'clock in the morning. B'shalosh, if he's used to eating at 9 o'clock, machinoso barba, have him eat at 10 o'clock. So what do we see in this source? That the term chinuch, which we dashed underlined, is associated with the idea of delay, not mashlima, not completion. Omar Rabo bar ula, trei chinuchi havu. Rava bar ula tells us that we've got to be a little more flexible in defining terms. Namely, chinuch is not as rigid as we thought it was, that it's restricted to the hour practice, but rather it can encompass the idea of completing a fast day as well. So, with that in mind, then, we can defend Rav Huna and Rav Nachman as well. We continue now with a new Mishnah, a new topic on the side. We've written Ubra Sheiricha Mazon Yom Kippur, a pregnant woman who smelled food on Yom Kippur. It's a fairly common knowledge that in the state of pregnancy, so women will at times be sensitive to different scents, especially when it comes to food scents. And that arouses that has the potential of arousing a very intense desire for that item, and if she is not fed what she is smelling, it could lead to a dangerous situation. So look at the Mishnah. Ubra, a pregnant woman, Sheiricha, Machilin, Oisa, Ad Shetoshiv Nafsha. We give her to eat until she is restored to a sense of equanimity. The Rashi says, "Ubra shericha ubar mariach reach tafshil." The fetus is perceiving the scent. V'hum is aveloi, and it has a desire. V'im eino oicheles, and if the mother doesn't eat, shnehem is sukonim. The mother and the fetus are in danger. The Mishnah goes on with another halacha. This part of the Mishnah will not be dealt with in our shiur today, but Mirza Hashem, the next shiur, it will focus on the seifa. Chole machilin oisoy al pi bekiin. A person who is ill, and the issue is, does he really need to eat or not? So, if Bekian experts, and Rashi refers to Roifim, we'll say doctors, if doctors say he needs to eat, so then he will eat. Vim ein shom Bekian, machilin oisoy al pi atzmoi. And if there are no doctors around, and the patient says he needs to eat, we give him ad shiomar dai, until he says enough. There is an elaborate analysis of the Gemara on this part of the Mishnah. However, as we said, the Gemara opens up with its focus on the pregnant woman. Tanu Rabbanan, ubra shericha basar kodesh or basar chazir. A pregnant woman picked up the scent of some holy meat, meaning sacrificial meat or unkosher meat, pig meat. Tochvin la kush beroitav. Kush is a utensil that's used in spinning of wool. I'm not sure that there is that it has to be specifically this device, but it's a utensil. You dip this utensil into the gravy, umanichin la alpia, and we place it upon her mouth. Im nisyash vadaita mutav, if that is sufficient for calming her, then good. V'im lav machilin oisa roitav atzma. And if not, then we would feed her the actual gravy. V'im nisyash vadaita mutav, if the gravy consumption is enough to calm her, great. V'im lav, if not, machilin oisa shumon atzmo. And we would give her the Shuman literally is the fats itself. It would seem to be a reference to the meat itself. It could be that the fats are that which is producing the intense smell, and that's what she really wants to eat. So we give her the thing itself, not just the gravy, but the food itself. You can see that we are dealing with different stages of seriousness or severity. If we can solve the problem with a less severe offense, then that would be the better approach. If not, then we do what is necessary to calm her. As you can see, we have a bracketed section that will continue till halfway down Omid Beis. Omid Beis is a rather short Omid of Gemara, but the Gemara right after the brackets, where you see the triangles, those are that takes us back to the case of the Ubra. There will be two stories that are highlighted with the triangles, beginning with the expression "Ahi Ubra." Two stories involving a pregnant woman and her smelling things. In the meantime, we have the bracketed section. The last thing we read was that if the woman's mind is not put to ease by eating the gravy, then machilin oisa shuman atzmo, we give her the actual meat itself. And we continue now with the bracketed section. She'ein l'cha davar she'omei b'fnei pikuach nefesh. There is nothing that stands in the face of saving a life. And here we're dealing with a person's life is at stake, and it's Yom Kippur. So, in all due respect to Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur doesn't stand in the face of something that's life-threatening. Nothing does. Chutz me'avodah zarah v'gil arayos, shvichus dam, with the exception of three major offenses: idolatry, immorality, namely illicit relations, and murder. And you can see on the side we have as our topic heading Shalosh Averos Chamuros Shemoisrim Aleim Anefesh, three major offenses, the three major offenses concerning which one would be expected to surrender his life and if necessary in order to avoid these three, and they are Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Domim, as we saw. The double underlining introduces the Makoros, the Moisrim Nefesh L'chol Echod Mehanal, sources regarding each one of the offenses and the expectation to surrender one's life. So if you just scan the Gemara, you see Avodah Zarah Minolan right now, and then a few lines later at the end of the line, Gilui Arayos is double underlined, and at the top of Omid Beis, Vorotzeach Gufei Minolon. There has to do with murder itself. Where is that learned from? We say, what is that learned from? We mean the necessity of surrendering one's life as, and if necessary, if that's the only way to avoid committing these offenses. So obviously, we're talking about a situation where a person is under duress, and yet he must give over his life in order to avoid violating these offenses. The Gemara. Avodah Zarah Minolan. From where do we know that a person would be expected to be moiser nefesh, that's surrendering one's life in order to avoid yielding to idolatry? The Sanya, the following source. Rabbi Elazar Omer im ne'amar b'chol nafshechon. Here we're quoting a pasuk which is pretty well known. The pasuk says, "V'yo'afta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol ma'oidecha." From the beginning of the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema, you are to love the Almighty with all the pasuk itself makes reference with all your heart, but it goes on to say b'chol nafshecha, with all of your spirit, with all of your life, and it also says b'chol ma'oidecha. Let us, in order to translate that, we will wait for the Gemara. So Rabbi Elazar says im ne'amar b'chol nafshecha, loma ne'amar b'chol ma'oidecha. If the Torah says you shall love the Almighty with all of your spirit, why does it say with all of your wherewithal? V'im ne'amar b'chol ma'oidecha, and if it says you must love the Almighty with all of your being, then loma ne'amar b'chol nafshecha, why does it seem to repeat itself by saying b'chol nafshecha? Ela lo imar loch. It communicates, it teaches us the following. If you have a person who values his life more than his money, his holdings, his property, so that for this kind of person, his most valuable possession is his own life. Well, l'kach nemar b'chol nafsho, in addressing a person like that, we are telling him to love the Almighty, and the love of the Almighty is to the exclusion of idolatry. So we were telling him, express your love for the Almighty b'chol nafsho, with your most valuable possession, your life. V'im yesh l'cha adam shemamona chova v'lov migufo, and if there is a type of person whose money, whose life, whose property is more valuable than his own life, and that might sound surprising at first glance, but it shouldn't be surprising at all. There are people that risk their lives in order to save their property, so they are demonstrating that they're willing to risk their lives. I mean, they might lose their life but it's in order to save their property. So their property is their most valuable possession. It's not uncommon. So if you have someone whose property is more valuable than their life, we are addressing those people as well, telling them that your love for the Almighty, which we said is mutually exclusive of idolatry, you must show that love even at the expense of your property. L'kach nemar uv'chol mo'decha, with all of your ma'odecha, which will now translate as with all of your mamon, with all of your property. So, at this point, we have our source that the prohibition of idolatry must, the prohibition, the violation of idolatry must be avoided at all costs, whether it's even if it costs one life, one's own life. That's what we mean, that pikuach nefesh does not stand in front of avodah zarah. We continue. Gilui arayos ushvichus damim min olam. Now you can see with the markings we've focused on gilui arayos alone. We didn't mark shvichus damim yet, even though the Gemara says it as well. That shvichus damim, murder, will be dealt with at the top of the next omit. That's why we looked ahead to see the double underlining there as well. So we're focusing now on Gilui Arayas, which is the realm of forbidden relations. The Torah has an extensive list of those. One must sacrifice his life in order to avoid this offense of forbidden intimacy. Menolan, where do we know that from? Disanya, the following source. Rebbe Oimer. We have a pasuk that deals with the topic known as Na'aro Hamurasa. We mentioned this in our previous year. This is a girl that has the status of a married woman. She was offered money in exchange for her agreeing to marry a man. And she's technically speaking, a Na'aro is between 12 and 12 and a half. That's her age, but that's as far as the source that this pasuk is coming from. However, it is representative of all forms of forbidden relations. We're not getting into right now into details of Chiyuvei Kores and Lavim and Yisrase. There are a lot of details here, but we're going to speak in general terms right now, that Gilui Arayas is something that is so serious an offense that if one is under duress, he must sacrifice his life. Now, where do we know that from? From the following pasuk that features the Na'am Rasa. It says, Ki kasher yakum ish al re'ehu retzochei nefesh kein hadavar hazeh. Now, translated, it says, as is the case when one arises to slay his friend, so too is this matter, the matter of the Na'ara Murasa. V'chima inyan lamadnu meirotzeach l'Na'ara Murasa. What do we learn from the topic of murder to the topic of Na'ara Hamurasa? Ella, what actually happens here is a big turnaround. The pasuk appears as if the topic of murder is going to shed light on the topic of the Na'am Rasa, when in fact the topic of murder is elucidated through the topic of Na'ara Hamurasa. Now, what does that mean? Ma Na'ara Hamurasa nitan lehatzila binafshoi. A Na'ara Hamurasa, this is a girl who is officially considered a married woman. If you are witness to a Na'ara Hamurasa being threatened by some man, she's being threatened, we'll say, with being raped, The Torah tells you you can kill that pursuer, assuming of course that you can do it. You can kill him. And Rashi points out how I know that from the fact that the pasuk that deals with the topic of namarasa says that, well, if she was raped, it was against her will, so she is spared. And it says, the pasuk says, ki ein moshiyalo, there was no one to save her, implying that if someone was there, they were entitled to save her any way possible, including killing the pursuer. So we know that regarding the namarasa, nitan lahatzila, it is possible to save her, binafsho, through taking the life of the one pursuing her. That would stop the offense from taking place. Af rotseach nitan lahatziloi benafshoi. So too, in the case of someone whose life is being threatened by some murderer, and you can stop the murderer, and the only way to stop him would be by killing him, go ahead and do it. So what happens? We learn from the topic of namrasa to the topic of murder, that if it's a function of stopping the murderer through killing him, then go ahead and kill him. And how do I know that? From what we just said regarding the namarasa. But we go further. Ma rotseach yohorei v'al yavor. And in fact, we learn from rotseach that just like in the case of murder, if a person is under duress to commit a murder or sacrifice his own life, he must sacrifice his own life in order to avoid committing the murder. That we are working with that as a given right now. So just like that's the rule by murder, af na ramurasa yeharei val yavor. And likewise, if a man is put under duress to either commit an act of intimacy with a woman married to someone else, and if he doesn't cooperate, he must yield his own life. So we say a man who's put to such a test or put under such duress, yehareg v'ayavor, he must sacrifice his own life and not yield. That's not, for example, the case if a person is, let's say, life is threatened, either eat the bacon and eggs, or we will shoot. You must eat the bacon and eggs. Preserve your life and do not violate, do not sacrifice your life in order to keep from violating some other kind of transgression. But in the case of illicit relations, so we say one must sacrifice his own life in order to avoid the transgression. And where do we learn that from? We learn that from the approach we take to murder. One must sacrifice his own life and not commit a murder. The Gemara at the top of Omid Beis asks, well, v'rotseach gufei menolan. Well, where do you know that point with regard to murder? Okay, that's going to be the next piece of Gemara. But before we go on, let's just make it clear. We just had a source telling us that in the case of Gilui Arayas, if it's a matter of self-preservation or transgressing Gilui Arayas, you must give your own life. In other words, do not practice self-preservation. Rather, yield one's life in order to avoid that transgression. And we saw that in this source, especially where the dashed underlining at the end of the source was Afnam Rasa Yehorei Val Yavor. One must yield his own life and not conduct intimacy with a woman married to someone else. Now, where did we learn that from? Well, we learn that from the case of murder, that one must yield his own life and not commit a murder. Well, how do you know that? So the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis, Verotzeach Gufei Menolon, Svora Hi. This is a matter of logic. And here we have an illustration of something that has very powerful ramifications, and that is the strength of Svora. Many of us are used to, through learning Talmud, are used to seeing as source information psukim and other forms of oral tradition that surrounds psukim in order to come to conclusions. Here, we're not going to be dealing with verses. We're dealing with logic. It's an open and shut case of tight logic. And it takes a few lines to develop. That's why we have a long answer marking. How do we know in the case of Rotsach that one must yield his life in order not to commit a murder? Svorohi, we said it's a matter of logic. And there's a story that brings out the logic. A person once approached Rabbo. Omar Lay. And this person asked Rabbo, what is the din concerning the following case? Omar Li Mori Duroi. Rashi says, Shilton Shokfar Shani Dar Sham. The head of the community. The local authority approached me. Katlei leplanya, v'iloi katilnaloch. The speaker says that the authority told me either you kill so and so, and if not, then we will kill you. Omar Lay, Rabbo says, Nik Teloch Velo Tik Teil. Allow them to kill you. In other words, surrender your life. Velo Tik Teil. You shall not commit the murder. You shall not kill that other party. And the reason is, My Chosis De Domo Di Doch Sumak Tfei. What do you see to consider your blood redder than his? Dilma duma doma dahu gavra sumat tfei. Maybe the blood of the one they want you to kill is redder than your blood. Of course, we satisfactorily provided a literal translation, but the phrase has become part of common speech. Part of the jargon is his blood redder than yours? Meaning, who has the ability to evaluate in depth, in truth, who is better than whom? And therefore, since a human being cannot know if the next fellow is in fact worse than he is, that would, let's say, justify my preserving my own life because I am more valuable, I am a better person than he is, since it's an unknown. So when in doubt, we have another rule that says, shave v'al tase, don't make a move, remain passive, and it's true, a life is going to be lost. But instead of your proactively taking a life, allow your own life to be taken. The Gemara continues, and we go back to the topic of the pregnant woman on Yom Kippur, picking up the scent of some food. And as we said before, the triangles are two incidents. And you'll see they actually are two extremely opposite type incidents in this matter. The Gemara, Hahi Ubra de Orcha. There was a pregnant woman who smelled food on Yom Kippur. Osu Lekame de Rebbe. The case came to Rebbe. What should we do? Omar Lahu, Rebbe said, Zilu Lechoshula the Yoima de Kippuri who go, whisper in her ear, today is Yom Kippur. Maybe you can withhold yourself. Lechoshula, they did that. They whispered in her ear, Ve'ilchisha, and she accepted what they were saying. And the fetus stopped its desire. In other words, that worked to calm her, and she didn't have any more and this intense need to eat the food. Kori Ole, referring to this fetus, the following was said: Beterem et sorcha babeten yedaticha. Before you were formed, in other words, before you were born, so you knew the Almighty. A description of even in the unborn state, this fetus still yielded to the reminder that it was Yom Kippur and it's not the time to eat. And Nofak Mino Rebbe Yochanan, you know who was born? The woman who was pregnant was the mother of Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Yochanan was the fetus. The fetus eventually became Rebbe Yochanan in that story. Hahi Ubra, the Orcha. Once again, there was a pregnant woman who smelled food. Also the Kameh to Rebbe Hanina, and the case came to Rebbe Hanina. Omar Lu Luchushila, whisper in her ear, Velo Yilchisha, and it didn't work. Kori Ole, referring to this child, to this fetus, he said the following. We continue at the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Zoru Rishoyim Merechem. Rashi at the top says, Zoru Rishoyim Merechem, Nasu Zorim. The word Zoru is taken to mean strangers. V'nisnakru Lavim Shebashamayim. They've become distant and foreign from the Almighty. Merechem, in the Posuk Merechem, from the womb. In other words, even from the womb, they show their wickedness. Nofak Mino, and the child that was born in that from that story was Shapsai Otzer Piri. The offense that he committed is described in Maseches Bava Basra, that deals with people that hoard necessary staple food items, and thereby driving up the prices of those items for self, of course, self-profit, but at the expense of the public welfare. We're dealing with staple food items. He, Shapsai, Otzer is to create an Otzer. An Otzer is a storehouse that has to do with hoarding peri, and this, as Rashi says, with staple items. And that's, of course, that's wicked. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.